Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
We're back with another week of Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. The song just cut off really abruptly, but that's okay. We're here at Roberta's Pizza, as usual, and I'm joined by two women who have a wonderful new company called Ovenly. Check out ovenlynyc.com, and here they are, Erin Patinkin and Agatha Kulaga. Kulaga?
Yes. Yep.
Correct. I just realized that I met Erin about 4 years ago when I sold magnetic fields tickets on Craigslist.
I found them on Craigslist, and your email address included your website, Not Eating Out New York. And I was like, oh, she's a food blogger. I'm going to buy tickets from her. And we lived on the same street, too.
We did. How was the show?
It was really good.
Oh, darn.
Except Stephen Merritt complained about his ear problem overly too much.
I can't remember why I was selling those. Anyway, we all know that Brooklyn is now this incubator city for this explosion of craft artisanal food companies. And these two ladies have a huge passion for baking and decide to take that to the next level. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened about, you know, taking it to a business?
Sure. I'll start, and I'm sure Agatha will chime in. But we both had been very interested in starting a food company for a very long time. And individually, before we had met each other, we had done friends events. I had done some personal chefing, but we both had very different careers and desired to do something new. And we happened to be in the same book club that we both never went to. And
that was about food.
It was about food. And then,
was it the Foodie Book Club at the Brooklyn Kitchen?
No, it was before the existence of that, I think, okay. Maybe. It was called Four Burners, and it was started by a woman named Kara Canela. Hmm. And so we never went, and then I hosted one of the events at my house and finally had read a book and finally decided to fully participate, and Agatha was there, and we met.
And I had not read the book.
And so, and we, you know, a conversation sort of started with all the women. There was a lot of very accomplished people, and a conversation started about how, wow, why has there not been a business that has started from this book club of all these really talented women? And then Agatha just kind of looked at me and was like, let's start a business.
And we met the next day, or that week, actually. And
May 2nd, 2009.
Yeah, it's our anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
2 years ago is when we met to talk about starting a business.
Yeah, and we just went forward from there. And it took a while, but we did a lot of planning and then finally launched in officially September 2010.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about a lot of stuff. We had some friends who were having us do things that were not at all what we're doing now. We started by thinking we were going to start a rooftop dessert club and
and then an underground dessert club.
And then we were doing menu planning for restaurants. It was just kind of a circuitous route. And then We kind of finally were like, you know what? We like to bake. We're just going to do some baked goods and some bar snacks. And that's how we started.
And now you sell your baked goods to various bars and also stores, right?
Stores, bars, and restaurants.
Yeah. We do baked goods for coffee shops as well in the mornings. And then most of our bar snacks are in Brooklyn and Manhattan at this point. So New York-based so far.
Right. So it used to be like all these, you know, bagel stores and delis had a bunch of baked goods that they didn't actually bake there, but they were bought from some like other massive wholesaler of baked goodsness. But now
that's the official name.
Now when you go to these stores, like what's a good example of what's a big account for you, you guys?
Joe, the Art of Coffee is probably one of our biggest accounts, and they have 7 locations in Manhattan. And so, and that they were totally culpable of that too. They, their providers, and they still use, I mean, not that those are necessarily bad or not as good, but they have moved over to using us for their scones and their cookies.
And they also use a variety of other local folks. Right.
So it's like a smorgasbord of these really creative, individually made, delights.
Yeah. And, you know, and they made a very conscious decision to revamp what they were offering in their coffee stores.
Cool. So, yeah. And so what sets your desserts apart from the rest, I guess?
Well, our focus is that we like to meld savory and sweet. So our desserts are never too sweet. They have an element of savory and usually an element of spice to them. And I think that's what sets us apart from other desserts, especially.
We like to sit around and think about flavors that we think would go well together, and or things that we might think could be unusual combinations, but will turn out really well. And so that's kind of how we brainstorm about the products that we'll create. But an example of melding savory and sweet is we produce our most favorite dessert is a black chocolate stout cake with salted caramel frosting, but we use a really dark Dutch processed cocoa that's really bitter, and so the cake itself isn't very sweet, and then the frosting is actually quite salty.
Very salty. Yeah, we like to make desserts that we would actually eat as a meal.
Yeah, and we don't things that are cloyingly sweet, and so a lot of our desserts are not too sweet.
That sounds good to me. So 2 years later, you know, stuff is flying off the shelves. Demand is growing crazy. Agatha quits her day job. Did you ever expect this was going to happen?
We had big plans. Oh. And I think that what's been nice about our process is that we've started off slow and at a slow pace, and we never got ahead of ourselves, and we set small goals, but we also had these larger goals, and it's worked out really well for us. And I think the path that we're headed towards is great. And we've just we were cooking out of Polly G's before, and we just moved into a new space in Red Hook that's a lot larger, but that was really a great move for us, but at the same time, it helped us to evolve, and we weren't taking on too much at once. And right. So we were starting off working with less clients, and now that we've taken on a few more clients, that gave us the ability to move on to a larger space.
To get your own space. Exactly. So it's your own commercial kitchen now that you rent?
Our own commercial kitchen in Red Hook, yeah.
Yes.
To catch Agatha was just saying, we definitely had big plans and we definitely had goals that we wanted to accomplish, but I don't know, at least for me, I didn't realize that when we really started things up in September that come May we would both be working on this full time. I sort of thought like, oh, it'll be a year or two before I can quit my job. I quit my job in November to do this full time, and you know, Agatha just today is pretty much her first day where she's full-time.
You're free
of
at last.
And so I just don't think that I just didn't expect to get the response we did so quickly, and we haven't done any marketing on our own, and so it's been entirely word of mouth. And so
and just going up to these bars and stores and say, hey, you want to try?
We haven't done that.
Oh my gosh,
we're about to.
Yeah, we two places we approached were kind of mutual because we had friends that worked there. It was the Veronica People's Club and the Brooklyn Brewery. Those were our first two clients, and we have not since then pursued a client, which has been amazing.
We've been
for
very
us.
Lucky,
so and it's so lucky. But it's just we had goal sheets of who we were going to approach, and we haven't even had a chance to hit that.
And people have been really supportive too. So people that we started working with, then it was word of mouth, and they would recommend us to other people, and we just went from there. So we're hoping to get out there and start introducing ourselves to other people.
Yeah. Well, it's all about a good product, right? And
that's true.
It goes around. That's amazing. So you both are the bakers. You both are basically everything, right?
We were up until 2 weeks ago. Now we have 3 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all.
I'm kind of like following the trajectory of all these small craft businesses. So when do you reach this milestone? And a lot of people ask, how do I get a commercial kitchen in Brooklyn? And I hear a lot of
emails all the time.
Yeah, we get a lot of emails.
A lot
like
of
that.
People, but it seems like it makes sense. Would you say it makes sense when you're first starting out to kind of moonlight in a restaurant?
It definitely helps, and I think also it gives you an opportunity to see what you're capable of and to form relationships while you're doing that.
Yeah.
I think that
that's
if
a good
we
idea. You can piggyback off of like Pauly G's people or
exactly.
something.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's definitely what happened. That is what happened with Pauly. I mean, we've just being associated with him has really brought us a lot of press, which has been great.
And we were baking out of his kitchen, and then organically we started doing the desserts for him and then the bar snacks for him. So it just all fell into place.
And I think that just the moonlighting comment, New York is a really bureaucratic place, and it's not necessarily the easiest place to start a business. If other people out there who are listening are from other cities, they may have had this experience. But we actually started first. We were working on the weekends out of a caterer's kitchen, and then we were in Pauly's, and now we're in our own kitchen. But it has been helpful. Besides finding the commercial kitchen, it's been helpful to rent places that are already built out or that we can use other people's equipment, because it also keeps your cost down. They're just hard to find, and you mm-hmm. just really have to put your feelers out there. So
totally, it's like before buying an apartment or a home. Rent first,
right.
or
exactly.
something.
Right. That's very true.
Okay, next question. How do you become incorporated? Did you do that from the get-go? Okay, so you...
Yeah, we did that right
You weren't away. Like hobbyist tinkers selling things just like to friends?
Well, once we had a couple first. Clients that we knew that we were going to start with, we immediately became an LLC.
Yeah.
So.
But it did take a few months for us to actually do it.
Okay. Did you have to take like any food handling, whatever?
Oh, we've done all
certifications.
Of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We okay. had to do that. You know, I think that that's kind of an important thing. Starting a business is as much as you can afford to do things correctly and legally, just do it from the beginning. There's some things that you might have to hold off on for a little bit, but business insurance and food handlers and doing, you don't have to do an LLC. It's much, if you want to do an S corp or a C corp, which costs a lot less, just get everything sort of legal and in place, because you're going to ultimately set yourself up to make everything easier, like taxes and other incorporations that you need, other certifications that you need that you have to show your incorporation, blah blah. So
word to the wise.
And starting a business does not just mean, or a food business does not just mean being in the kitchen. There's a lot of business involved with
right.
that as well, which can be overwhelming at times, especially if you don't have that background. So it's important
paperwork,
to start
papers.
Exactly.
So much paperwork.
File everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it works. So did you guys, how would you feel if you went into it just alone? Do you feel like the teamwork really helps out?
I think that it's been tremendous for me. I don't think that I would have been able to do it alone. Or it was very intimidating to even think about that. And before I met Aaron, I had wanted to start a baking business, and I was searching around and asking my friends if anyone was interested in doing the same thing, especially the ones that were cooks. And everyone was just not in that place. And so I was waiting for something serendipitous to happen, mm-hmm. and it did when I met Aaron. And I just feel so lucky, because it's intimidating in every sense. And to have someone that can be there and understand what you're going through, even your closest friend or your partner won't necessarily understand that unless they're going through it with you. And I think that that's been really helpful. And we feed off of each other's ideas. And that part is really creative and inspiring as well, just because there's things that I'm not aware of or haven't learned in my cooking or baking career that Aaron knows, and hopefully vice versa. So I think that it's definitely been a collaborative process. And that to me has been a learning process, which is great.
It sounds like it would be more fun too.
It's been so much fun.
And also, but someone, just totally frankly, like when you're starting a small business and you're growing and things are happening faster than you expect, it's pretty stressful.
And scary.
So, and so, you know, when you talk about partnerships and business partnerships, it's not about just finding a partner. It's about finding the right partner. And I think we were very fortunate to have found each other and to have started this together, because there's a lot of stress and there have been some very hard moments, but we're two people who talk a lot about mm-hmm. the issue, you know, if we have any issues or how things are going. And we also are two people who have really thick skin, so we might...
Very thick.
You know, there might be moments where we're acting angry towards each other or acting really stressed out towards each other, but we understand what we're... Each person is going through, because we're going through the same thing, that it just works. And I know that a lot of people have a hard time finding the right business partner. So that's
and usually in moments of stress, one of us is stressed and the other one is able to calm.
That's also just good too.
It's worked out really well in that sense.
Well, congratulations. And one last question. No investor? Investor?
Yes.
No? Yeah.
We have an investor.
As of today.
As of today, it's official.
Well, as of today, it's official. Okay. We've had a lot of milestones apparently today. It's our 2-year anniversary. Agatha's first official full
and you're day. On Heritage Radio.
We're on our first radio show, and we officially have our investor. Everything happened today.
Yes.
Wow. You're on a roll. Okay, so I know you guys picked a song. We'll just throw that on really quick. What is it?
It's R. Kelly in the Kitchen.
Of course. We'll be right back. From the kitchen to the bathroom bed, from upstairs to the basement bed. Put you on the counter, out of control. Yeah, we're hopping in the GT coupe, going to the club. Do what we do. We make hands on the table, on your tippy toes. Yeah, hey, it's the weekend. Let's get straight to the street. Set a sign outside the door, say the restaurant is closed, and we'll be cutting up tomatoes, vegetables and potatoes. Let's get together like a cookout, baby. You bring the beer, I'ma bump some sage. Hook up some of that chicken, baby. And oh yeah, don't forget the rice and gravy. It's about to be a party at my crib. Got Hennessy juice and Beverly. Got chicks and swimsuits up in here. No pole, no hitters, no tricks in here. Hey y'all, what's up, got bounce juice in my cup. Mama making that ass jump up. Shit, she don't get no fuck. Ain't gotta worry about complaining ass neighbors, cause your boy is sitting on some acres. Dip low in the SLR. Come and take a ride in my supercar. Sky's the limit when you're rolling with a play. Shopping sprees when you're rolling with a play. I thought a bar when you're rolling with a play. Big chips when you're rolling with a play. The party's almost over, so baby, tell me what you gon' do. Open that door, put them out, close that door. Me and you, sex in the kitchen, by the store.
This is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm Kathy Irway, and we've got Agatha and Aaron from Oven Lee, a baked goods company.
We would like to do a cooking show with R. Kelly.
Agatha would like to do a cooking show.
Just putting that out there.
I can totally see the video right now. It would be like flour all over the place, licking spoons. And, let's do it. I promised him I'd ask more fun questions after getting over like the nitty gritty of the business, because I don't know, everyone seems to be asking these questions these days. So hopefully that was a good success story and some good tips there. So thank you guys so much for those. But I know you're both very competent and capable, I'll say both, bakers. But what do you guys like to cook when you're not eating these baked goods as a meal, as you suggested?
I'll start with myself. Okay. I love cooking everything, and I love experimenting in the kitchen. I'm a big science dork, so I love the chemistry and the science behind things. So baking, for that reason, I really enjoy as well. But I love cooking Mexican food, and I also love cooking Polish food, which that's my background. I was born here, but my parents are from Poland. So,
what's a good Polish recipe I should try?
Oh God, there's so many.
Agatha made these dumplings once that were based on a Polish recipe, but totally her style with the tamarind paste.
Yeah,
they were. Those were so good.
They were sort of a spin on traditional Polish dumplings that are made out of farmer's cheese and potato. Ooh. And then we boiled them, pan fried them, and prior to pan frying them, we coated them in ground pistachios, and then
Whoa.
Made a tamarind paste to go with it.
Whoa.
To,
those pistachios and sesame seeds.
That's wild.
And black sesame seeds, so yeah. Good. And they're delicious.
That's insane. That great, yeah. Is it kind of like gnocchi almost?
So, yeah, it's a little bit like
the ricotta gnocchi, and potato, but I don't know.
European style, yeah. Farmer's cheese is very popular in Eastern Europe.
Much lighter than gnocchi. Mm-hmm. Much
That's
lighter
than gnocchi. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And okay, so since you're still on a roll, Agatha, what would you say would be the most ultimate date meal that you would make?
Oh, God.
Octopus.
I was about to say. Octopus. Octopus, octopus.
You guys really know each other. Aaron's in the back.
It's funny because that's the first thing that came to mind was octopus.
Well, she and her husband make that.
My husband is Portuguese, and he just recently made me, we just got married in January, and he
congrats.
Thank you. And he made me this incredible traditional Portuguese octopus dish, and it's basically roasted. We did baby octopus, and it's roasted for about, I would say, 2 or 3 hours. I don't know.
The little baby ones, you just eat those little things like whole without a fork.
Oh yeah,
and they're so tender, right?
They're so delicious.
Oh my god!
And it's in you make a sauce out of fresh tomatoes, garlic, this pepper paste that you can also make, and it takes about 2 or 3 days to make that pepper paste, and then you roast all of this with potatoes and some veggies, and it's fabulous. Mm-hmm.
So cool. All right, so nothing says like I love you than an octopus tentacle in your mouth. Whoa, that sounded really weird.
Oh my god. The weirder the texture, the better for me. Aaron's okay. The opposite. Aaron,
no, not me. Really.
Aaron's the opposite.
Not yeah.
What would you say, Aaron?
In terms of what I like to cook, or the best date meal, which one?
Oh,
best date meal.
Yeah, let's go with
all
that.
All right. Oh man, I have no idea. I think it would have to include some sort of really slow roasted meat, because
she likes to cook meat.
I was a vegetarian up until I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And I don't know how to cook meat that well, but I became a...
She makes awesome scrapple.
I do make really good scrapple.
What is scrapple anyway?
Scrapple is a traditional farmer's dish from the Pennsylvania Dutch, and it's cornmeal mush, which sounds really gross.
It looks a little weird.
And pork neck.
Another
broth,
way this...
It also sounds really gross, but it's so good, and you cook it all together, and then you fry it like polenta.
Okay.
And she says octopus.
You can make it
weird.
Sound better by saying polenta.
Yeah. It's kind of like a polenta kind of American dish.
Scrapple.
Yeah.
Scrapple just sounds like...
I'm sure my mom's listening to me right now and really Southern. Excited that I just mentioned scrapple. I ate it all night.
So
all
what,
my mom?
So what makes that the most like day? But is it just a comforting?
The slow cook? Well, no, the best day food I would say slow cooked meats, just because I never had a slow cooked meat really until the last few years, and I am very much in love with lamb shank and you know, pulled pork, and I never really had that for, and maybe if I did, I was a kid, but I didn't remember because I stopped eating meat when I was 16. So.
I was going to say, are you a born and raised vegetarian? Or
no, a big meat eating family, and then I just decided to go veg.
And what brought you back into meat eating?
I was actually writing this blog for a while, and I would go into people's homes and cook with them and then write about it. And then so many people wanted to make meat. And I was like, man, I should just...
It's unavoidable.
It's unavoidable, and I was like, I don't know what things taste like. I don't know what... I don't remember what a steak tastes like. I've never had... There were so many meats I'd never had. Sweetbreads, for example. You know, I'd never... There were so many different types that I had of, you know, not just the actual animal, but parts of animals that I had never tried. And now I'm a total adventurer when it comes to meat.
That's so
we're
cool.
The same. We're the same way. I was a vegetarian as well. And then we've gotten very adventurous with that kind of stuff.
What's your favorite meat now? Lamb shank?
I'd say a really well slow roasted lamb shank is one of my
ossobuco.
Favorite. Yeah, I love ossobuco.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite meat, but an indulgence of mine is chicken liver and chicken hearts.
No way.
Oh, yeah, I love chicken liver, too. Yeah.
Well, you guys are hardcore for being new, sort of new to meat. That's crazy. Do you ever do, like, kind of any meaty things in your baked goods?
Oh, yeah. We do baked goods and bar snacks, kind of. That's right, most popular bar snack is our spicy bacon caramel corn, which is not only has... We use Benton's bacon. Benton's bacon's from... Benton Country Hands in Tennessee. Oh. And it's all, you know, heritage bred, well-raised pork. But we not only cook the lardon down, but we use the bacon fat in the caramel corn recipe in many variety of different ways. Wow. So it's really a bacony,
and then
sort
we also
of sweet savory snack.
We also use the bacon fat in our peanuts that we make. We make roasted Old Bay peanuts.
Which we're actually going to start a contest tomorrow called...
Ooh.
Oh, no, we were supposed to do today. We're going to do it tomorrow. Called Name Our Nuts. Because we really need a good name for our bacon fat roasted Old Bay peanuts. So, listeners out there, get ready.
Name Our Nuts.
Where can we go name them?
We will post it to Facebook. And it's just facebook.com/ovenlynyc.
Okay, cool. And
the winner is going to get a bunch of free nuts.
Totally.
Okay, so do you have other savory stuff like scones or like...
We do. We make biscuits, yeah. We make a lot of savory scones and other things as well, but some of the savory scones that we've been making that are being sold at Joe and also Veronica People's Club in Greenpoint and Bedford Hill Coffee Shop, we do a Gouda honeyed pistachio scone. We've done bacon, egg, and cheese scones.
We do a Polly G scone, which is oregano, goat cheese, and sun-dried tomatoes. That's in honor of him.
We do a Parmesan sage scone.
A lot of different savory options.
Countless. Mm-hmm. It's a whole mix. Cool. And
And Hannah, one of our bakers, she just invented a cheddar cherry basil scone, which is wonderful.
It does sound like everything has sweet and savory to it.
A lot of our goods do.
And what's the biggest seller that you guys have of all everything?
I would say there it depends on the place, but if it's bar snacks, definitely the spicy bacon caramel corn. I would say in terms of the cakes that we do for events, it's the black chocolate stout cake with the salted caramel frosting, and we make it with Brooklyn Brewery beer.
Mm-hmm.
And
black chocolate stout.
Black chocolate stout. And then in terms of the breakfast pastries, by far the scones. We get crazy emails with
all
scone lovers.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Converted people who never liked scones.
So now if someone's at their favorite bar and they're bored of like the kind of like potato chip bags they have to offer, can we say, hey, you should talk to Ovenly?
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. We definitely get bulk orders for events and
from people who've been to the bars
exactly
that we serve at.
And emails from drunk people.
We do get emails from
eating our
eating
snacks at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And why did you not decide to put Brooklyn in your company name like so many others seem to?
I'm going to give a personal opinion on that. I don't know if Agatha is going to agree, but I'm so happy I'm in Brooklyn, and I think the food movement here is great, but you know, it's a movement and it's not necessarily going to remain as localized as it is, I think, on the East Coast. And also we're not just, we are a local company selling to local places, but we do hope to grow and be a bigger business and think outside of the five boroughs. So
that would kind of pigeonhole you.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there are a lot of companies that are succeeding. I know, like with the Brooklyn Salsa Company, is that the name of that?
Yeah.
You know, I see them everywhere now. And, you know, I think that that's one marketing strategy. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there are others to go by too. That, and no judgments on that. Not that it's right or wrong, but that just, we never actually even considered that as an option.
Okay. It just never even came
up. You know, we had a bunch of different names that we're thinking of, and Brooklyn was never in the title.
How come Ovenly?
We liked it the best. We had so many different names that we were going through, and when Ovenly came up, we just knew it was the right one.
I just love geeking out about words, and I just love your name because
thank
you. It's so wonderful. It looks like lovely, but scrambled up. and the food is lovely.
Yeah, we get a lot of
heavenly.
We got heavenly, ovenly, lovely, ovenly.
Yeah.
And you guys are lovely too.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. You and are as ovenly. Well, where can we? What do you guys have? Oh, okay, so you have a name that nut contest and
Facebook tomorrow. Yes. Name our nuts.
Cool. Anything else fun coming up that you want to mention?
We're going to be launching in the next few weeks with Cool House, which is a ice cream sandwich truck that moved here from LA, and we're going to be doing some signature cookies and toppings for them. And so that's a pretty new arena that you're going to see us in, especially with the toppings, with the actual sauces. Yeah. That they're the first that we'll get our cinnamon hot fudge and our salty caramel sauce for ice cream.
Can't wait for the decadence. Yes. Thanks so much, ladies.
Thank you.
And thanks to Jack and everyone at Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. You know a man can't grow when he knows she's telling lies and he hears them.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.